Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12 this morning, if you would, please. Praise the Lord. It is a great joy and privilege for us to have you in service with us on this first Sunday of a brand new year, the millennium. We welcome you into the house of the Lord today. We just reaffirm I suppose the philosophy of ministry that we have, and that's simply the only agenda that we have is to find his agenda, because we understand that it is not by might nor by power, but it is still by his Spirit that he builds and establishes his kingdom. How many believes that God does have a plan? God was not wringing his hands at 12 a.m. as the new year was being ushered in. God is right on course, right in step with his own design, his own destiny. And the beautiful news about it is this: we're his children, we're his family, and he takes very good care of those that belong to him. And so we pursue the agenda of his heart. Brother Greg, it's good to have you in service this morning, and our prayers are with you and your fam at the loss of your father. He's enjoying his first Sunday in heaven today. Amen. A deacon of First Baptist Church in Moore for many, many years, born in the church, and was 82 years of age, I believe. And so what a great heritage and legacy that the Gregorites' father left to his family. And that's what it's all about, is following Christ and praying that our family and friends will follow us as we follow Christ. Amen. It's a great joy to have some dear friends of ours from Lawton, our home church, and Ray and Zella Watts, and we love you to death, and you're some of our dearest friends. And these folk believed in us when only our mama believed in us, and I thank you for the support through the years, and what a legacy and heritage that you have left to us. And just look the other way. I'm a little weepy this morning. I don't know why. And for the Brown family that's with us, God bless you so very much, Glenn and Charlotte and Brian. And we love and adore and appreciate your friendship. And they're going to buy us lunch. Maybe that's what I'm so emotional about. Did you say that? Did you say he's going to buy us lunch? Finally, God has answered a prayer. Someone's going to buy us Sunday lunch. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to all you that we love so much, isn't it great to be a part of the family of the Lord? It's so great. To our guests that are here, we're a little prejudiced, but I'll tell you, God's done some wonderful things in our church, and we just invite you to try us out. Try him out. And I think that you'll like what you're looking for. Praise the Lord. I'd like for you to hold your Bible's open to John chapter 12. I will get there in a few moments, but I just want to speak to you out of my heart this morning. And this being the first Sunday of a new year, it's a lot more than that. It's a brand new millennium, a brand new century, a brand new decade. The year 2000 sounds odd, writes odd. You can't abbreviate it hardly. Going to take a lot of extra work and a lot of extra ink. 2000, we just abbreviated 1999. But this is a brand new opportunity for not only the peoples of this world, but the church, the living church of Christ in this hour. And before God and this company this morning, I would simply like to reaffirm and restate our position. I want to reestablish lest there be any doubt or confusion, my passion and my heart, desire that burns within me. And it's all bottled up and capsulized in these few words, what I am all about. And what burns within my heart is simply this. I just want to see Jesus. Bottom line, I just want to see him. I'm not interested in the form and rituals of religion. My constant and continual prayer, and has been through the years, is, oh God, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see you in all of your glory and all of your grace. Make all of your goodness pass before us. Allow us to catch a fresh glimpse of your grandeur and your splendor, oh God. How many believe that we serve a God that his eyes are looking, going to and fro on the whole earth, looking for somebody just to show himself strong in behalf of. He's looking for somebody that's got eyes to behold him. He's not playing hide and seek with his people. He's just looking for somebody that's looking for him. And friends, I'll be honest with you. I don't care if we have another church service or not. But I do want to see Jesus. I do want to rub shoulders with him. I do want to feel his embrace. Because there is nothing that satisfies the craving of fulfillment outside of the person of Jesus Christ. He is not one of many. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no plan B. There is no options. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But how many would agree that served him very long at all, that he's enough? Come on, somebody shout with me on Sunday morning. He's enough. Oh, he is enough. Glory to God. He is the salvation of my soul and the song of my spirit. Hallelujah. The hope of my today and the help of tomorrow. He is eternally enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to see him, for to see him is to worship him. And to worship him is to revere him. And to revere him is to adore him. Anybody adore him in the house? Glory to God. For what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of... Come on, it's not a lamb of the first fold. It's not a bull or a bird. But friends, it is the eternal, spotless Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that did not give up his life because of force, but he laid his life down because of his great love for you and me. It's all about Jesus this morning. It's all about Jesus Christ. He and he alone is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My soul passion and my soul pursuit is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and, yes, even being made conformable unto his death. But friends, you will never know the life of Christ until you've experienced the death of the flesh. For it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Paul said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. I am a product of redemption. He bought me back. Come on now. I was created in his own image, but for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Though he created me, yet I rebelled and I rejected his plan and his strategy for my life, and I fell into sin. I was born into sin, but one day Jesus came and he stretched forth his hands on an old rugged cross and he said, "This blood is for you." And there came a day at the age of 7 years old that I bowed at an altar and his blood washed away my sins and old things passed away and all things became new. Friends, I'm a product of divine redemption this morning. Can somebody shout with me? Because you have been redeemed by the mercy and grace of a God that loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for you. Praise God. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. My heart's cry is, God, I just want to know you. We're building and adding 8,000 feet to our church, and that's an exciting day. But in comparison to knowing him, friends, it's just stick and mortar. God has allowed Vicki and I to build a new house, and we're in the process of building us a home after 7 years. And it's an exciting time, but friends, it pales in comparison to the presence of God. There is nothing that satisfies my soul like the Spirit of the Lord God. Hallelujah. I finally got me a Chevy pickup. I've been driving it for 2 years. A red pickup truck. Z71, four-wheel drive, AM, FM cassette, stereo player. Amen. It's got them armrests that come down, bucket seats, and that console in the middle. You put your Cokes there. I mean, it is something else. I got the windows tinted the other day, and I got one of those things you pull out of your pocket, and you just point it at it, and it unlocks itself and locks itself back up. I mean, it is one cool truck. But I'm telling you, friends, just a touch of his glory erases any memory of anything this world has to offer. I'm telling you, it's not in stocks and bonds. It's not the money in the bank account, nor the homes that you live in, or the cars that you drive, or the things that you possess, or they possess you. It is the living presence of a God that wants to live and dwell with you. For his name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. Nothing like Jesus. Nothing like his presence, nothing like his love, nothing like his grace, nothing like his mercy. Oh, God, we want to see you, Jesus. So this is my text, yet much more than my text. It's the soul's cry of my spirit. John 12 and 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came to Philip and desired him, saying, "Sir, we just want to see Jesus." Come on now. You know, we have turned church into a religious production. We want performers to excite us and inspire us. But my friend, can I tell you that this church purchased in the blood of that sacrificial lamb, This church, the head of this body, belongs to one and only, and his name is Jesus. And may I tell you the greatest benefit and the greatest blessing that we can bestow upon you every Sunday is when you walk away from the house of God and you simply say, I saw Jesus this morning. I caught a fresh glimpse of the glory of God this morning. I don't know who was preaching it. I couldn't tell you who was singing, but my eyes beheld the glory of a resurrected Christ. Amen. The Greek said, sir, we would see Jesus. We've heard about him. We've read about him, but now we want to see Jesus for ourselves. Forgive me if I'm a bit presumptuous this morning, but I believe that our eyes were formed to behold him. I'm sorry, but historical facts and figures and recollections and declarations and even testimonies of the good old days, as powerful as they might be, can never, will never take the place of an eyewitness account. Come on now. It's not enough for you to know that your mama loves Jesus. It's not enough to hear your daddy pray. Friends, you've got to see Jesus for yourself. Because when you see him, you will never be the same again. For Isaiah cried in his generation, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And he was forever changed at that revelation of Christ. Church, our greatest need today is not more information, but what we are desperate for is fresh revelation. Life-changing, impacting revelation of Jesus. Listen to this. Information without revelation will only build an institution. But information with revelation always produces transformation. Yeah. You see, I can feed you all kinds of religious information this morning. But unless you catch a revelation of truth, you will leave this building just as you've come. But if somehow the information can, come on, can inspire revelation and you begin to see truth, you will leave this place set free by the power of God. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's what we need. My friend, we are so saturated with information. Even religious information. We've been preached to and re-preached and taught and re-taught and sung and re-sung. And yet things remain the same. Why? Because there's no fresh revelation. You see, there's a vast difference between the religion of God and the reality of God. Religion is merely informational. Religion is merely informational, but reality is always transformational. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He will give you a new name written down in glory. He'll give you a new heart in place of stone. He'll give you a new song of salvation and redemption. He'll place a new spirit in within you, breathing his breath into your life. That is transformation, a result of the revelation of God. See, transformation changes a drunkard into a deacon. And I'm weary, I'm so weary of just decisions. Because if a person just makes a decision to follow Christ, they have a tendency to change their mind before they get outside the door. What I'm hungry for is an old-fashioned, heartfelt, life-transforming change. Not just a decision. But old things dropping at the altar. Come on now. And when they stand to their feet, they're standing on the solid rock. And they walk out shining and radiating with the presence of God. And they change the world. They're living in white because they've had a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You see, we must see Jesus, because that's revelation, and revelation produces transformation. We've got to see him. If we don't see him in this century, all we're doing is playing religious merry-go-round. That's all we're doing. We're just going around the same proverbial block. We're just singing the second verse, same as the first. I'm so tired of high sinner. My God, he promised upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You'll not just hold the fort, you will storm the gates of hell. Our cities know where the liquor store is at, but they have no clue where the church house is. Something's wrong, friends. We need a revelation of Jesus. It changes the way you walk, and it changes the way you talk, and it changes your lifestyle. It changes your outlook. It changes your demeanor. It changes everything about you, because once you were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Come on now. Old things have skirted, but new things are erupting every day because you're a child of God. Transformation. Change is a liar into a spokesman for truth, a prostitute into the purity of womanhood, a beggar into a banker, brokenness into wholeness, sorrow into joy, and turmoil into peace, and weakness into strength. That's what I'm looking for, friends. Come on now. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, setting at liberty them that are bruised. And all our altars are these days is just wishing upon a star. My God, give us a revelation of God until we stand with boldness and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, be free, and the chains fall and demons flee. Because, friends, he is still enough. He is still enough today. Isaiah prophesied of this coming Redeemer. He shall give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And this is my heart's cry. Oh God, reveal to us the reality of who you are. We are tired of religion. Forgive us for unproductive, uninspiring, uninviting religion. Religious rules and regulations, the traditions of men, suffocating and smothering philosophies of the flesh, personal preferences that we've sanctified as divine law. If what you preach is truth, then let me see your fruit. But if what you preach is not bearing fruit, friends, we need to re-examine the textbook. Do we not? I'm almost through. Almost through. Is there anybody as tired of religion as I am? I was thinking about this last night, and I wrote it, and then I erased it, and then I rewrote it. So maybe you want to erase it. You can if you want. I'll make a statement that you're going to probably say is, well, I'll let you come to your own conclusion. In all honesty, I don't really care if it's Amazing Grace or Sweet Adeline, as long as God's in the choir. I'm telling you, friends, we've tried to narrow God down in our own little channel of perception. And we believe if God's not doing it today like he did it yesterday, it must not be God. Friends, you're limiting God by your own personal experience with God. What he created the first day, he didn't create the second. It was a progression of creative acts of his own hand. And I say to this people, let's just find where God's at. Let's just try to find where God's at and what he's doing, and not demand that he come and live in our backyard. Find what is working. Find what is saving the lost. And find what is healing the sick. And find what is setting the captive free. And then go for it with all of our heart, because it's not our ship. The ship belongs to him. It is the old ship of Zion, friends, and he owns title deed to the boat. Let's find what God is blessing, and then say, God, tag me on the caboose. I want to be a part of what you're doing in these last days. Just want to see him. Some of you are going to get mad at me. It's a brand new year. You get a fresh start. You get all of your sins have been forgiven. So you have no marks against you. I'm telling you, friends, if I've got to see Jesus two-stepping to joy unspeakable, I say, somehow, God, help my feet to move. If I've got to begin to fast and pray like I've never fasted and prayed, come on, God, then take the plate in front of me away, God, because I want to see you. There is too much at stake, friends. We've all got family that unless they are saved, they're going to spend hell wide open. We've got to get serious about our pursuit of God, because that is the only hope and salvation of the world that we are living in. We must see Jesus somehow. Somehow we've got to find him. Somehow we've got to find him. Bottom line, we must settle for nothing less than the reality of God, the reality of his presence and his power and his person. For folks still leave the house of God saying, we have never seen it on this fashion. Can't explain it, but I sense God. Amen. It's kind of like the old blind or the young blind man that Jesus touched when he was drilled by the Pharisees. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or saint. I don't know. But this one thing I do know. I once was blind, but now I can see. Come on. Quit guarding your spiritual pudding if there's no proof there. The proof is still in the pudding, friends. This one thing I do know. I don't know the 16 fundamentals. I don't know the four cardinal beliefs of the Assemblies of God. I'm not sure if they're coming or going. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be sitting or standing. Come on now. But this one thing I do know. My marriage was falling apart, but we walked the altar again. My prodigal was gone from home, but he sat down at the table with us last night. My God, we need a fresh revelation of the glory of God that still is the transforming power of all the ages. We must see Jesus. We must see Jesus. Oh, God. In closing, Listen. We have so diversified our energies and our involvements. Listen. We have so diversified our energies and our involvements that we lack a driving force in our pursuit of Christ. We have spread ourselves so thin with things that we hold dear and necessary. Listen, that we have little or no time to spend in search of the Savior. If what we have done in the past has worked, then why is our churches across the board in such a hideous position? Why is there no tears of repentance in our altars? Why, we as a Pentecostal movement, why is there less than 50% of our people speaking in tongues? And that is a generous stat. Why is it, friends? If we started out in the fire, somehow somebody has let the fire go out. Somehow somebody has got to restoke the fires of Pentecost. Somebody has got to throw another log of commitment on the fire. We've got to pray until God breathes upon the fire and we become a blazing inferno of the glory of His grace and His blessing again. Church, our only hope for survival is revival. I'm telling you. If what we've had in the past has been enough, then why are we in the shape we're in? We've got to have a fresh revelation of God. Somebody's got to begin to fast and pray again. Somebody has got to get serious about God again. We cannot continue to punch flesh's clock until late in the evening and give no time for God. Jesus said with his own lips, he said, a man that was seeking treasure found a field whereon and wherein was a tremendous treasure. And the Bible says that he went and sold all that he had, that he could purchase this field wherein lay the treasure. He sacrificed all for the treasure. And again, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a merchant that is seeking for goodly pearls. And when he found that pearl of great price, he went, Brother Larry, and sold everything that he had that he could purchase that great pearl of great price. Revelation of Christ is not without cost. But friends, it is the greatest treasure that you could ever hold in your hands. What will we do with this year? Will we continue living a life of trivial pursuits? Or will we somehow awaken ourselves, ask God to remove the scales from our eyes and wipe the sleep of slumber from our spirit and once again catch a fresh revelation of who He is? God, we want to see You. We just want to see You. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I want to see you. We've got to see You. For the sake of our nation, for the sake of our state, for the sake of our city, for the sake of our neighborhoods, for the sake of our families, for our sake, Lord, let us see You. Let us refocus our eyes upon He who alone is worthy of our pursuit and May we see you afresh and anew, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me all across this congregation, please? Eyes and heads bowed, reverencing the presence of the Lord this morning. Friends, I hope you understand that today is not just a message out of my file and catalog of sermons. This is my heart. This is my cry. This is my soul's passion. I just want to see him. I just want to see him. For to see him is to see deliverance and to see healing and to see freedom and to see life and joy and peace. The revelation of his love and his goodness and his mercy. Open our eyes, Lord. You want to see Jesus this morning. Maybe you're lost without Christ. You've never seen him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With a heart, we believe in the reality of who he is. Maybe your back slid away from God. Maybe your eyes have been clouded over with the distractions of this culture, this society, and you no longer see him as you once did. Or you're just in this house as a believer. You love the Lord. You love him with all your heart. But your heart's cry along with mine is, Lord, I must see you in a greater dimension, a greater revelation of who you are. And I want to come and I want to bow my knees before you, Jesus, and cry out, oh God, open my eyes that I may see. I invite you right now, you that want to catch a fresh glimpse of the glory of God, the reality of who Jesus is, I want you to come and find you a place to pray. I want you to build an altar in this house somewhere. I know that we may not all be able to gather around the front of this building, but crowd in as close as you can. Let's declare a statement in the heart of God. God, we are pursuing you with a heart of passion. We want to see you, Jesus. Our life depends upon it. Our future hinges upon it. I want to see you, Jesus. Come, sinner and saint alike. Come to the altar of God. Bow your knee before Jesus. He wants to reveal himself to you because of his great love for you. Jesus. look for him this morning. He's looking for you today. For he has promised, you shall find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. Look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. That good work that he has begun in you, he shall complete it against that day. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12 this morning, if you would, please. Praise the Lord. It's a great joy and privilege for us to have you in service with us on this first Sunday of a brand new year, a millennium. We welcome you into the house of the Lord today. We just reaffirm I suppose the philosophy of ministry that we have, and that's simply the only agenda that we have is to find his agenda, because we understand that it is not by might nor by power, but it is still by his spirit that he builds and establishes his kingdom. How many believes that God does have a plan? God was not wringing his hands at 12 a.m. as the new year was being ushered in. God is right on course.